selling something to somebody is nothing more than creating a relationship between two people. Or, for example, if you're running a webinar, you might be selling to 100 people, but you're creating a relationship, you're creating rapport, you're understanding each other. And especially as a salesperson, you're especially understanding the problems that a prospect has.
Plug into the minds of the world's cutting-edge innovators, visionaries, and thought leaders who are rewriting the rules of sales and success. It's your time to make an impact. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Selling with Love podcast. And I'm very excited for the conversation we'll have today because it's going to be with a dear friend that I had a chance to work alongside who has been doing wonders when it comes to the written language for selling and marketing. Brian Casangina is the man behind the Geniuses of Copywriting podcast. And he's actually a man that's been writing copy emails for big brands. And speaking of the voice of people such as Vishen Lakhiani being written by him and his team, he is the email resurrection guy. Now, if you've ever receive marketing emails that seem to grab your attention, make you move into action, or you've been trying to create that for yourself, well, this is going to be the conversation where we will demystify this art and see what are some of the faux pas people might be doing when it comes to the way that they write, whether it's emails, sales, letters, etc. But truly, if we're trying to convert more leads into sales, we're trying to be more effective in every way that we communicate with the written language, he is the man that's going to show us how. Some of the tips along the way. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Now, big intro, but we go way back. I mean, I think one of my fondest memories of working alongside you is me and you going to seminars together around sales, where a lot of people were just, they were just working their stuff, but you kept drinking the Kool-Aid, whereas like you're continuously educating yourself, even as we were employed at Mindvalley, refining your craft, finding other opportunities. You've always been someone that's quite hungry on the marketing material, and what kind of fueled that thirst?
I guess it's just something that I've always felt inside, you know. This is one of the reasons why I actually sought a position at Mindvalley, because I had been writing copy for about 10 years already by that time, and I was working for myself. I'd given up 9 to 5 a few years ago, and I saw the position come up, and I thought, you know, Vishen, what an amazing character to learn alongside. Even after 10 years in the craft, you know, I knew that I could learn something from him. And as you well know, he really knows his stuff when it comes to copywriting and persuasion in a non-douchey sort of way. But what I didn't expect was how much I would learn from other people on the team like yourself. So different perspectives and different points of view. So it's always been a passion of mine to be that continuous student.
I didn't expect myself to be working for Mindvalley neither. Like, I started in 2013, and the reason I got there was I just went to visit the office because they were like winning all those awards about like coolest offices in Asia. And I just remember touring that office. And by the end of it, I was like, oh my God, look at all the people working here. They seem so on it that I wanted to be a part of that bubble. So like the learn by osmosis kind of mentality. But I'll be honest, by the time I got hired by Mindvalley, I didn't even know what they were selling. I just knew that they had a blog called Mindvalley Insights. And so I'd be curious, when you first got into it and the awareness you had, was it like personal growth? Was that already something you were very much into, or were you focused purely on the marketing side?
It was. I was mainly about marketing, but I was very also into personal development. I've read all the books by Tony Robbins, Brian Tracy, and guys like that. I knew something about Mindvalley. I knew they did personal development. I'd read some of their stuff and watched some of Vishen's videos. I'd never actually bought one of their courses. I wasn't what you'd call a raving fan, but that soon changed when I started getting into the courses. And as a copywriter and a marketer, you really need to dive into everything that they sell, what you're trying to sell. And one of the real big perks of working at Mindvalley is that I got free access to all those courses. So that was really nice.
Nice. So you've been in this industry for a while, using the written language to write copy. And I'd be curious to know, like, what did it feel like and look like when you first got into this industry? Because like copywriting is often a very intimidating field, especially for someone who's not going, I'm going to become an expert at this field. And so you've started as a quote unquote beginner as well. Can you walk us through how that was navigating the initial times?
I guess one of the advantages that I had was that one of the first moves I made in the entire industry was that I actually bought a copywriting/marketing course for about $700 or $800 back in Australia. And at the time, this is about 2003, and about the time that was a decent chunk of money for me. So it was a serious investment. And so that kind of motivated me to really dive into it and learn everything there was to learn about it. And I started out after that, I was looking for a way to sell online. I found eBay and I was selling different things on eBay. I discovered that you could sell electronic products, information products, books and CDs and stuff. Yes, CDs back in the day. I'm dating myself already. But perhaps you better stop me and explain what a CD is. But I sold those on eBay. And because I was selling to business owners, they started to notice all the stuff I was selling. And I started to get asked to write their eBay ads for them. And that's how I kind of transitioned into copywriting itself. I didn't start out, you know, I wanted to become a copywriter. I wanted to become a marketer. I wanted to start my own online business. I got into copywriting because back then I was selling a lot of physical products. And, you know, I found that actually writing a person's eBay ad, I could charge a lot more and there's no lining up at the queue in the post office to send stuff out. So that was good.
Nice. I find that copywriting is one of those arts that has always been an extremely valuable person that's doing some incredible work behind the scenes, but has always been very sought after. Like, we just now that we had it much more on the internet, that you see copywriting being something very popular. But even in advertising agencies back in like the 50s, 60s, 70s, copywriters has always been a craft that's been looked for. Professionals are sought after. Hi, Kitty.
Just come to distract me. Sorry, go on.
So I was going to say, has copywriting always been this very niche skill that has always been with a high return? Because most people have just recently started going like, oh, maybe I should learn this skill, but it's always been a very good skill to have.
Yeah, you would know from working with Vision, anyone that asks you or me or Vision how important copywriting is, it's absolutely crucial. And a great example of that is Vision, the way he worked with us on the copy, but you wouldn't call him a copywriter. You would never be able to hire him to write an email or a sales letter, but he knows what good copy looks like. And this is the key when it comes to writing with AI as well. You know, you've got to know what good copy looks like. So you've got to study the art if you want to be good at persuasion, because copywriting is nothing more than salesmanship in print. That's the way it was put many years ago. So it's salesmanship, it's persuasion, and that's how important it is. It doesn't matter if you never write copy for a client. You've got to know what good copy looks like. So it has been a niche sort of area. It's becoming a lot more widely spread now. But the downside of that, some people are selling now copywriting as a business opportunity. Right? They sell templates and now you've got AI to help with this as well. And they sell the idea, a course, a business in a box that says you can become a copywriter. Just use these templates and use ChatGPT to customize them. And bang, you can charge $5,000-$10,000 for a sales letter. But that's not the case, because if you're just a brand new copywriter coming on the scene, it takes a long time to learn. It took me 10 years to get to the point where I was good enough to be hired by a company like Mindvalley. It takes time to learn that. So I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people who learn a lot faster than I do, but it takes time to master. You can't just drop into and say you're a copywriter and you're suddenly an expert. It takes time to learn the craft.
You've been hovering around the topic that's the elephant in the room, is that there's this democratization of copy. At least this is how it's advertised with AI, where it's like now everybody can be a copywriter. But you keep speaking about how there's this nuance that makes a difference between good and bad copy. And so maybe I should phrase this next question more deliberately, which is, why is it that when you use AI to generate copy, does it seem to not hit the mark?
The biggest drawback that AI has, and I can say now I use ChatGPT and other AI platforms almost on a daily basis, you know, using research and ideas and stuff like that. It's been a great help to me, but I don't use it for writing. And here's why. Because the problem with AI is it sounds obvious, but it's not a human. It doesn't have that human connection. It doesn't have empathy. It can't make that emotional connection with the customer or with the prospect. You know, there may come a time when later on down the track when it does. And that would be fantastic, because I'll be able to use AI to write all my copy for me and I'll never have to write a word myself again. That'd be amazing. But we're not there yet. We're not there yet with the latest ChatGPT or Claude or any of the other ones that are coming out, because it's just not that human connection. There's no empathy. There's no understanding. Because when you or I write a piece or we talk to a person and try and solve their problems, we're connecting with them on a personal level, on an emotional level, we're understanding them. AI is just a replica of that. So it gets pretty close. It kind of says all the right things. It sounds smart, but it doesn't quite connect in the way that we need it to when you're actually going to make a sale.
I'd love your opinion on this because I find for somebody who might be very blocked by the whole idea of copy, maybe they don't even have a landing page yet, they don't have a sales page yet, anything in place. Do you find that it's actually useful to have an MVP using AI, or is that actually starting you on the wrong foot?
You can use a lot of hacks and tricks like that to get started, and it's certainly better than nothing. I've tried a lot of the time to write with AI and then edit that to make it, you know, like humanize it. But for me, but some people might be different, but for me, it takes just as long or even longer to humanize AI copy to the point where it's usable. I might as well have written the thing myself. And I prefer to write it myself. And other people might be different. They might like to edit the copy. I prefer to edit the copy. And it really gives them a good start. You've always been able to get copy templates and things like that, which have given you a good starting point, and you can humanize them from there. And so that is possible.
You know what it makes me think of is like if I've ever tried delegating a task to someone who's quite junior, and it's like you get to a point that's frustrated and you're like, you know what, I'm just going to do it myself. But the difference is that if you are training someone junior, they're learning as a human, they'll eventually get better, and then that task will end up being fully delegated. But the initial on-ramp demands so much more energy. And I find AI sometimes has that same type of curve, except they're not a human that's going to take on responsibility. You always need to consciously put effort into it. And so it becomes less beautiful.
Like I was saying, there may be come a time later on in the future when they do achieve that status of being able to be like a senior team member, to go back to your example. But we're not yet there. It's going to take a lot longer than it would to train a human.
Did you personally have a lot of sales experience before you got into copy? And do you think that's a prerequisite for someone to get really good at it?
I think it helps a lot. It's not absolutely necessary if you learn the principles and you understand people and you have the empathy and compassion and a human connection that good copy needs. But for example, when years ago I was laid off from a job, I was made redundant, and they gave us a severance package of what back then was a decent amount of money. So I went out and didn't have to get like a regular salary job at that time. So I actually went out and did a bunch of sales positions. A lot of them were commission only. So you're lucky I had that cash to fall back on for a little while. So if anyone finds themselves in a similar situation, this is an interesting exercise. Now, I wouldn't specifically recommend it for other people because it can be pretty hairy, but when you don't have the regular salary coming in. But I did have that safety barrier. But I went into a number of different sales positions. I sold mattresses, websites, you know, fitness stuff, even karate memberships, like door to door. So, and a lot of those jobs, you know, you go out all afternoon or all evening. And if you didn't make a sale, then you just drive home empty handed. But when you did well, you did well. And that's kind of how I learned to connect with people and listen to them and understand their problems in a way that the product or service I was selling could solve their problems. And that's really the key to it. So a background in sales is a big help. So like I said before, copy is simply salesmanship in print, whether it's print on a web page or a video sales letter, for example, or anything like that, it's still salesmanship. And salesmanship is nothing more than helping your prospect to solve their problem in a way that's a win-win situation.
Obviously, being on a Selling with Love podcast, it's not as surprising for listeners here if they've been paying attention for a lot of episodes where we remind them about what sales is. But I want to poke directly at you, where you talked about some of the qualities of what makes for a good salesperson. You had words such as compassion, empathy, and caring, where those are probably not the first default words people think about when it comes to refining your skills as a salesperson when you have a very negative association to sales. So I want you to elaborate on that.
Well, those words are really the key to creating that relationship. And selling something to somebody is nothing more than creating a relationship between two people. Or, you know, for example, if you're running a webinar, you might be selling to 100 people, but you're creating a relationship, you're creating rapport, you're understanding each other. And especially as a salesperson, you're especially understanding the problems that a prospect has. So definitely there's a lot of negative connotations around selling and copywriters, and there's been a lot of good reasons for that. You know, there's high pressure salespeople who get on a call and won't let you get off. Like, for example, one place I worked where we're selling door to door, having an in-home presentation. And if we weren't able to close the person in their living room, then we needed to get them on the phone where a phone salesperson would put the hard sell on them and just, you know, wrestle them to the ground and make them buy. So I didn't last long at that job. But there's also a lot of copywriters who write like this ridiculous sales copy where, you know, the supplement industry is a good example of that, where copywriters will sell you a $200 bottle of pills, which you know, costs $5 to make and probably doesn't even help the problem that it's supposed to be helping. You know, FTC is cracking down on all of that stuff. So that's why there's a lot of negative energy around selling and copywriting. But if you do it that way, it doesn't last. It's not sustainable. If you put the hard sell in your sales letter and force people to buy, then chances are you can get a really high refund rate, you know, whether it's in person or whatever, virtually. It's not a sustainable relationship. And the real key to business success is repeat purchases. So if you get hard sold into something, you're probably not going to buy from that company again. So that's where really solving their problem, helping, understanding each other really comes into it.
Every business today is an online business, and you're going to need a website. If you're using WordPress, you're going to need to host it on a powerful website host that is lightning fast, works all the time, and can give you human-to-human support in the process. That's why today's sponsor is Kinsta, and we're going to encourage you to check out their incredible offer for those of you who need a reliable host for your website. Ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get your first month free when you sign up at Kinsta.com today, and it's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their websites. Visit Kinsta.com to get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out and get started free today.
Yeah, I think this is one of the dark sides of how easy it is to get up and running, of putting a product up and being able to sell it with very low upfront capital. You know, the internet did a lot of wonderful things, but I think one of the negative ones is that you can get something up and running pretty quick. And if you're going to be a fly-by-night scammer, you can pop one product, get it up, start selling it, even if it's an ineffective product, as you're using sales tactics that just like completely dehumanize the other person and bring them down to make them buy and give them a product that has nothing. Then you can shut down shop and start again with something different. And I mean, you're seeing all these like online scams. I mean, that's going beyond copy. I think in general, you're seeing a lot of like, I saw a documentary about this pay your taxes scam that keeps popping up in Canada. And like, they're using technology, they have call centers, they're writing out some stuff. The whole thing is very sophisticated, and it's like, it pops up every month and it's pretty crazy. And so I do want to acknowledge that there is the ill players that, because there's very low cost to getting it up and running, burns down the bridges, builds it again. And it's like, that for me is like the pinnacle of what I am against when it comes to what is going on. I mean, the whole aspect of selling with love is, how do we create a world where there's less douchebag marketers and salespeople? Like, given the tools, right people to do the tools that are effective but are used for the power of good, you know? And so I see you championing that right now. And so I'd be curious to see what you're noticing are possible shifts maybe in the last like 5 years that's happening in the world of copy, since you're pretty close to the industry. Are we seeing any positive and negative or interesting trends?
The major trend that I'm seeing now is a shift towards less douchey copy. You know, we've both seen the kinds of copy that we're talking about here. In copywriting, we call it the magic pill. And what some people are trying to sell is basically, you know, not literally a supplement or a pill, but you basically take a pill and you wake up in the morning either rich or thin, or, you know, with three girlfriends or whatever. That's basically what we call the magic pill in copywriting, you know. The easiest, least effort offer that you can make. And the business opportunity market is a prime example of that. You know, what sells in the business opportunity market is, you know, you buy a box and you press a couple of buttons and then, you know, cash falls from the sky and your wallet explodes. And we've both seen that kind of thing. I literally saw a video sales letter just the other day, which was literally saying, his customers are giving testimonials and saying, I pushed the button and suddenly I've got $8,000 in my bank account. I was just laughing because there's no way that that's remotely legit.
I'll jump in because what I've been seeing ads about recently is some sort of like PDF moneymaker with AI. It's been like, make money, PDF AI, and it's just like instant cash grab type of ads. And what is this poop?
Yeah, that's the biggest trend that I was going to come to next, AI. And it's split off into two branches. It's split off into douchey and non-douchey. So the douchey people are taking AI and scraping content and having ChatGPT rewrite content. So it's like, you know, so-called unique. And then they've got an instant product there. And the amount of effort to do that is getting lower and lower and lower. And they can create an instant product, instant funnels, instant sales letters that way. I mean, they're not going to be any good, but they can roll them out and, you know, spam them everywhere. Whereas the non-douchey branch of AI is great, is where I use it, where I use it for coming up with ideas and different angles and exploring things, researching, you know, helping me understand things before I actually start writing. So that is definitely the biggest trend, as you probably know.
Yeah. Well, it's very interesting all the support that you have when it comes to using AI. I'd be curious, as a copywriter who has chosen the light side, when you speak about research, like what's a practical way that someone who's wanting to get their sleeves up, start writing some persuasive words, like how do you use AI in a way that somebody could emulate?
So basically, I use it as a shortcut to the old process. The old process was we would go into forums and Facebook groups and online communities like that and find the biggest questions that people have. We copy and paste questions and answers from forums, for example, into a doc, and so that we would be able to read that later on and understand all the different problems that they have. AI is great because it now shortcuts that process. You can go out and explore all that stuff. It can figure out the trends. And the important part when you do this is to have it cite sources. So it'll give you a link to the source where it got that information from, so it just doesn't hallucinate stuff. So AI has really shortcutted that process. So we can understand what people are talking about online, what problems they're having, you know, can read Amazon reviews and stuff like that, you know, Yelp reviews and all that, and see what kind of competing products are out there, what sort of competing websites are out there, what they're doing. It brings all that research into one chat. And not only that, it helps you summarize it. So problem is it's often a mountain of data. So scroll and scroll and scroll and you're reading forever and you can just say, hey, summarize this in 3 paragraphs and 10 bullet points or whatever. So that's the real shortcut.
Yeah, I've done that maybe a little outside of field of copy, but if I'm like on consultative sales, I often do like a bit of an assessment for a company. I'll do like user interviews, et cetera, and I'm losing AI to put up transcripts, pull out some key insights, actions. It's like, God, that makes it so valuable for the person that's on the other side where I can bring this information, have it very condensed. And I can imagine in writing copy, she just gave me the great idea, which is like, you could probably come up with all of the FAQs pretty good on like legitimate questions, right?
That's literally what it's doing. It's coming up frequently asked questions. And we know that the FAQs on web pages always increase conversions. So it's a great tool for that. And you're literally getting it. You can even write them for you.
That's true. You could have the answers right provided for it and then do a couple of weeks. I'd be curious as far as if somebody's kind of listening to this conversation, you're like, okay, I want to give this a try. Are there some initial steps you would encourage people to take so that they can get started with doing this and feeling a little less intimidating? And given that this is such a big aspect, maybe I would focus on email. Like writing out emails to a list is often the place where most people have hesitation. I have hesitation for it myself.
Yeah. Emails are really interesting. That's why I do a lot of email work, because it allows that one-on-one communication with the person. Even if you're sending to a list of 100,000, it feels like one-on-one. But to get started there, the first step, assuming you've learned copy and you're studying it, which there's different ways of doing that, the first step is to get on as many email lists as you can. So if you're choosing a niche, let's say it's alternative health niche, for example, go to all those websites, sign up for their newsletters, download their free stuff, anywhere you can put your email address in. You can create a separate email address for this if you like, or you can just have it to your Gmail, where most of these emails will go into your promotions tab anyway. And that promotions tab kind of becomes the place where you go when you want to read other people's marketing emails. So the point is to get on as many email lists as you want and compare what they're doing. See what they're doing. Notice the kind of emails they send out. Are they heavy in graphic design, or are they more plain text and reliant on the copy? You know, do they send out an email a week? They send out an email a day. What are they talking about? Are they following a pattern throughout the month? Do they use fairly aggressive language, or are they more laid back? Notice these things and study them. And one of the things you can do is to take these emails and actually write them out by hand. Writing out copy by hand has long been a tactic recommended by experts to really help sink in the patterns and format. But it's really the patterns and the psychology of sales copy, but just sitting and reading it won't do. I don't know what it is. There's something about that connection with the pen and paper, going through your eyes down to your pen and paper. There's something about that connection that helps solidify an understanding of how the copy actually works, you know, beyond knowing what a headline is or what a bullet point is. It helps it sink in a lot more. And there's arguments to or for whether, you know, that actually works or not. But I think it does something to your psychology where it helps it sink in and you understand and appreciate the way that copy works a lot more in depth when you actually sit down, a real pad of paper, a real pen or pencil, and let's literally sit down and write them. I remember when I first started copy, I would have like stacks of old pieces of paper of copy that I'd written out. So take your emails that you're getting and do that. But to do it with this filter, any email that connects with you, makes you feel something, any email that you really notice, kind of default towards emails with a lot of sales copy. If there's someone selling like a sleep mask, their emails are generally like design heavy and they won't have a lot of copy. But somebody selling a course, they have a lot more sales copy in their emails. So that's what you want to be writing out, longer ones rather than shorter ones. But the real key to finding the best emails to write is if there's an email that makes you buy something, that's the best email that you can actually copy out and saving your swipe file. So that's the real big tip. If it makes you buy, then it works.
I don't know if it's because I've been in this industry for too long, but I've been very exhausted from emails. I've not been very much of a buyer from all the emails that I received. I'll tell you one thing that I did notice from emails recently, and since we've mentioned him, I'll bring him up again, but I think the last two emails that were promotional that were blasted out that I've read were coming from Vishen Lakhiani, and they were sharing some personal stories and insights and stuff. And there was a very subtle mention about a summit recording or thing that were happening at the end. But I went like, holy shit, these emails are really good, to the point where I texted him and I was like, hey, I read your emails. Like, these are good, man. Like, that's nice. And I'm seeing myself being gravitated towards something that's very story driven. Like anything that has any kind of product offer, I'm like, oh, waste of time. Is this something that you find is unique because of my proximity to the industry, or is this an industry trend?
Do you mean the fact that you're not really buying from emails? It depends. Email marketing is still the best bang for your buck that any business can have. And just because you or I don't buy from emails very much doesn't mean a lot of other people are. I mean, I'd be out of a job if no one bought from emails. So if you've got that email list, then it's the best bang for your buck that you can get. And if you don't have a list, start generating one. But the reason that those emails caught your attention was because of the story. And it's a great point that you bring up there. So I'm glad you did, you know. And Vishen's great at that, storytelling and connecting with you through stories, because that's one of the keys to copywriting. It's not about, you know, having a powerful headline or amazing guarantee. If you can connect with your reader, this is about with empathy and connection and compassion. If you can connect with your reader, you do that through a story. Any story that you've got in your life, if you tell that through an email, you're going to connect with people on your email list. So that's a good point you bring up.
Yeah, and I think that was more of the emphasis I was making here, because I find that that story element makes it much more fun to read. And if I think of any emails that are interesting for me to read, there's usually a story element, but there's also a established authority, trust, or like earn the right from that individual. So like if any random person would send me a story, would not have the same effect as reading the story from someone that I have, you know, some perceived interest in what they have to say. I'd be curious to know where that relationship between how you write your email versus who you are perceived to be, and if there's some fine tuning you need to do when you're trying to make it.
Well, in the old days, and this is probably still the case in the business opportunity industry, you know, there used to be a saying, and the saying used to be, probably still is in some quarters, fake it till you make it. And that basically means, you know, even if you're just starting out, you know, pretend to be successful. And the idea behind it, I think, is like presenting a mature business image, because somebody comes on, that no one wants to hear from their doctor when they're just about to go into heart surgery, that's their first surgery. We want to buy from somebody who's been around for a while, who's got a track record. So that's the idea behind it. I used to think that fake it till you make it would work, but unfortunately it doesn't. So it's really presenting a mature business image as possible, you know, getting a good website up, because there's no excuse for having poor design on a website now. Even AI can build us a website. So your website's got to look good. You've got to have good graphics. And this goes beyond copy. You've got to have a logo. You know, the copy is the important part. The copy does the heavy lifting. The copy makes the sales. But the old days where you could just have a plain sales letter and not much else, pretty much gone. You've got to have some credibility there. You've got to get elements of proof like testimonials. You know, no one wants to be your first ever testimonial. They don't want to be your test case. So if you don't have any testimonials yet, you know, give away your product or service to somebody until you can get some testimonials. That's how I got my first 5 testimonials as a copywriter. So I think I charged like $1 or some token amount to 5 people that I knew. I did 5 projects. One or two of them really took off, and I got a couple of testimonials out of it. I went from there. So that's another thing that you need to do. You know, whether you're going to be a copywriter or whether you're selling a product or service as a business owner, you need customer reviews. And nowadays, the online economy, reviews are everything.
Yeah, you're hitting on one of my pet peeves where I see people selling these products being like, you should be charging what you're worth, high ticket. And then people are like, well, I need to sell my product for such a high amount so people perceive me as valuable, but without a single testimonial or without having actually delivered the product or service to a few people that have been able to vouch for the value you provide. And so I'm always saying the exact same, is like, your first mission is to get like those 5 first testimonials. And then like, if you could pay, say your service is $5,000, if you could pay $25,000, and then you would have 5 incredible transformations provided that would make it so that everybody else after that would be willing to pay you $5,000 a pop, and you would be guaranteed to get 20 sales, which would bring so much more than what that initial investment is. Would that be a good investment? People are like, yeah. Then it's like, well, that's what your first 5 giveaways are, except you don't need to pay $25,000. You just need to offer free. And so to me, like, that's the seed thing that I want people to kind of get in their minds. And so I'm glad we're on the same page there, because yeah, the reviews and the emphasis on testimonial, there's no such thing as too much. And so, Brian, like, I love everything that you do and what you're bringing forward. I see you interacting a lot in a lot of the groups where there's a lot of people speaking about marketing, and you're always a voice of reason, and I respect that. And I'm very excited that you're in the field and bringing your valuable knowledge to the masses. And so I'm grateful you've come here and shared with Selling with Love, although I can't let you go before I ask my token question, which is, being on a Selling with Love podcast, how would you define what selling with love is?
It's a duty of care. So if I sell something to a person, the only way that has value is if they get a good result from it as well. So I make a profit from my sale, and they make a profit from the purchase, but their profit is not money. Their profit is in solving their problems, not having a toothache. It's having a reliable car that they love. It's being able to start a business. So that's their profit. So both sides have profit. I mentioned before that I want to create a win-win situation, and that's what it is. You know, there's no good in me selling something that doesn't solve somebody's problem, because that's not sustainable, like I was saying. So win-win situation all the way.
Brian, thank you for your time, your wisdom, and the work that you put out into the world. If somebody's gotten their appetite, only a sample being received from this conversation, they want to go deeper, what's the best places for them to get more resources from you?
I would follow me on social media, probably. I'm most active on Facebook. I also have the podcast, Geniuses of Copywriting, which you can look up. And that's where I interview a lot of guests. Hopefully I have Jason Campbell on there sometime soon. But that's a great resource if you're wanting to learn about copy and persuasion as well. The podcast is on Spotify, iTunes, and all of that. We have the website, we have the YouTube channel as well. So it's everywhere you can find it. I had some really interesting guests lately. And that's, you will hear me and some of the best experts in the world. So tune in and let me know what you think.
Brian, thanks for your time and wisdom. This was a great pleasure and good to catch up.
Thanks for having me. Good to see you again.
I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast.